is the Motley Fool Radio Show, and now it's time to take your phone calls. The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL. I'm joined once again by Dayana Yoakum, our personal finance expert here at the Motley Fool. Welcome, Dayana.
Thank you, David.
The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL. Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm 22 years old. I work for a corporation, Service Corp International. I have a 401k through them. I just qualified for that last year, and I'm wondering a few things. A, I've heard a lot about a Roth IRA. I'm wondering if I can double down the money that's in my 401k, half of it into a Roth, and also how should I diversify my 401k to maximize my investments?
All very relevant and good questions. Jeremy, I have to ask you first, Service Corp International, is that the stock that was at 5, went to 45, and then dropped back to 5, the funeral home company?
That's us.
Wow, okay. So, of course, a lot of people don't necessarily know the name of that company. It's almost such a generic name, Service Corp International, that we sort of may mistake it. But that's a fascinating company. In fact, Jeremy, how long have you been working there?
I've been with them about 2.5 years now.
Okay, and what do you do there?
I'm a funeral home attendant at one of their locations here in Cleveland.
That's interesting. Now, did you seek out this position? What, you know, was the death care business something you wanted to go into?
Actually, no. I'm in school studying anthropology, but it happened at one time it was a family business before, my uncle had sold the company. So we were acquired by Service Corp about 10 years ago.
Uh-huh. And Service Corp certainly did acquire a lot of funeral homes. It sort of helped to roll up the industry some. And out of curiosity, Jeremy, are you familiar with what happened to the company back in, I don't know, 98, 99? There were some serious problems. The stock fell off the cliff.
Yeah. I've heard roughly, but not enough that I know exactly what went on.
Was that a police siren I heard in the background? They're coming for you now.
Yeah, exactly.
Just kidding.
Well, Jeremy, do your friends give you a hard time about working there?
You know what? I get a lot of mixed reactions.
Oh, yeah?
A lot, yeah.
What do they say?
Everybody's always very curious as to, what it actually is that I do. And some people like to go into the gruesome details associated with death and things like that. So it can be a picnic talking to some people.
it's partly just sort of, it's a criticism of our Western civilization, I think, that we have a hard time talking about a topic like this. But there's no question. Peter Lynch wrote some funny stuff back in the day, back in the 1980s. His book, One Up on Wall Street, talked about what a great industry this was to invest in because Wall Street can't stand death in any way, shape, or form. And often some investors get the heebie-jeebies and don't want to be part of it at all. But the reality is this is a business like any other. It's a service business. It's obviously an unpleasant topic for all of us to contemplate our own death, but at the same time it happens, and over time it's been a decent business to invest in, but this particular company was badly managed and got into some legal trouble at the end of the millennium, which really hurt the stock. Today it's $5 a share, roughly where it was 20 years ago.
So, back to the 401k, I'm wondering if I should invest more. I get a company match, and I'm wondering if I should, invest more with my company match. You think that stock is going to eventually go up?
And that is the big question. The question is, if you were going to go with the company match, what is being matched? Do you want to put your money into the company stock? Do you get a discount on the company stock?
I'm not exactly sure how it works with that. Right now, it's set up every dollar I put into my 401k, I get 75 cents. In 2 years, when I'm with the company for 5, I will get $1.10 for every dollar I put in.
That is all good, Dayana.
Yep, the matching funds are fabulous. But again, you have to look at what are they matching and what are your choices in the 401k. Do you have some index mutual funds in there? Is it just company stock? That is the magic question there. Because you do want to go for the company match and you want to max that out as much as possible, because that right there is free money and that doesn't come along too frequently.
Right.
So you were asking also about, then you said double down. Is that a card phrase?
If I were to per se, split what I have, I have about, I've had the 401k for a little over a year now, like a year and a month. Mm-hmm. And I have roughly about $2,200 in there, which I think is fairly good.
Yep. For a 22-year-old, that's great.
Yeah, I've never saved so much in my life before.
Congratulations.
Feels good, doesn't it?
It's great. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, would I be able to split that money in the 401k and put half of it into a Roth without having to pay taxes and stuff? Is there a way I can do that?
Well, what I would do right now is it's in your 401k plan already. Go ahead and keep it there. There are some limits on how much you can put away in these defined benefit plans. It can be up to $14,000 this year. If you max that out, which would be really great, then go ahead and outside of that plan, look at a Roth IRA. A Roth IRA is great because you can take that money out. You can withdraw your contributions at any time without paying a penalty. So say you want to buy a home in the future and you need a little help with the down payment, you could actually borrow money from your Roth IRA to do so. It really all comes down to what your choices are in that 401k, because if they're not so great, then what you might want to do is invest only up into the match.
Okay.
And then take the money that's left over, max out a Roth IRA.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you've still got money left over to invest for the future.
A great problem to have if you can manage to have that kind of a problem.
Go back to the 401k, because what that does is it reduces your taxable income. And what that means is essentially looks like to Uncle Sam that you're making less money and therefore you have to pay fewer taxes.
Right, right, which is always nice.
So I hope that's been helpful, Jeremy. You know, the Roth IRA, obviously a relatively new development in the history of personal finance in this country, but within the last few years, very popular with people who are younger, have a long time ahead of them to be invested, because when you pay taxes up front, which is what the Roth IRA has you do, then you actually get rid of that tax expense and your money grows tax-free after that and can grow into quite a large sum over the course of a long life. So that is why we favor the Roth for you in that context, Jeremy. But to close, Dayan is absolutely right. You should take advantage of the company match, because for every dollar you put in, the company is giving you 75 cents. That's a 75% gain. Very few of us will see that in any of our stocks over the next year, and you're getting that kind of guaranteed with that portion of the money.
Wonderful.
Good luck to you, sir.
All right, take care.
The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL, and we are going to Trumansburg, New York. Ford is on the line. Hi, Ford.
Hi there.
How are you?
I am swell.
Good. What's going on today?
I have a question about my retirement fund. I have the option of investing in a global equities fund as part of it, mm-hmm. and currently I do. And I was wondering about if I should get more weighted into that because of the trade imbalances and things that look like it might be putting downward pressure on the dollar, if that would then make my foreign investments worth more.
This is sort of looking at what's happening with the dollar now and global investing. David, Global Investing 101. Here we go.
Right, and I'm speaking of Ford in Trumansburg. I mean, I'm feeling presidential. It's almost like, you know, I don't know, George in Clintonville or something. Ford, a very non-American question. You're asking about investing outside of our borders and the benefits of doing so. And in my mind, there's no question the dollar has already precipitously declined. I mean, £1 now gets you about $1.90. I mean, that's a huge difference from where we were 10 years ago. And from an economic standpoint, it is not something that this administration can be proud of, looking back what happened to the dollar over the course of these years. Of course, there are extenuating circumstances, like we had to borrow lots of additional money to build out our military more. But the reality is that our dollar has been hurt for it, and that does hurt all investors. So you're asking a logical question. You're saying, hey, maybe I should own some foreign stocks, right?
Yes.
And this is in a retirement plan. You're looking at various choices you have, or you're just, as far as the world of investments, anything out there?
Anything out there in general, but specifically for my retirement. Currently, I'm divided. The way my money goes in, I have 20% going into a growth stock fund, 20% going into my global equities fund, and 30% each in equity in my social choice funds that are available through my retirement program. And it's the TIAA-CREF.
Yes.
So I was just wondering if maybe I should weight my global equities a little higher than some of the others, just as kind of a protection in case the dollar does go down. And the global equities does invest a little over 50% in U.S. stocks, and then the rest is in mostly large cap international.
Mm-hmm. That was going to be my question, because the reality is a lot of international investing, so-called, is actually just done by investing in American companies that are multinationals. I mean, Coca-Cola these days, about two-thirds of its business is done abroad. So you're actually buying global diversification when you buy Coca-Cola stock, whether or not it does well for you. And that's the way a lot of people are diversifying themselves globally. I mean, if you're making a mutual fund allocation decision here, if that's what we're talking about, Ford, it's okay with me if you wanted to do that. I mean, I think that increasingly it's going to be hard to separate American from global. I just think that's the nature of the investment landscape over the next 15 years. I run a couple services at the Motley Fool picking stocks, and within the last couple of years I've picked BMW, which I think is a good long-term buy and hold, and that's obviously a German company. You can buy in German Deutschmarks, protecting you some against a weak dollar. Embraer, which is an amazingly great Brazilian corporate aircraft company. I mean, they're an aircraft manufacturer like Boeing. And that company is actually does a lot of its business in dollars, funny enough, but it is one of the best companies in Brazil. I also look at China, and I see Shanda Interactive, Sina Corp. These are companies that are shooting for internet global positioning within the Chinese landscape, which is obviously a larger market than the U.S. So it's not that I pursue those companies as somebody who says I need global in my portfolio. I just think those are good companies to be invested in. And with every passing day, whether we're investing in stocks or in mutual funds, the information that you can use to analyze and understand what the heck's going on with that fund or that company is better. It's easier to track your international investments, and increasingly, any investment feels like a global investment, at least if you're looking at mid to large companies, because so many of them have diversified businesses.
In kind of a related vein, if the dollar does go weaker, I mean, I understand that then holdings in international currencies would go up, but if the dollar goes weaker, does that mean that those stocks would then fall because they would have a harder time selling to the U.S.?
When the dollar goes weaker, what it means is that it's easier for the U.S. to sell its goods abroad because what we're producing is cheaper to foreigners. And it's similarly, from an American consumer standpoint, it's more expensive to buy imports.
But it really depends on the company.
So you have to look at the individual business.
Right.
That's right, Diana.
If a lot of their business is selling to the U.S., then you're correct. It will hurt their business. But again, like David said, it's about buying the company. It's about buying the mutual fund, not buying the foreignness of it. And since you're looking at mutual funds in your work retirement plan, fees aren't as big of an issue for you. But if you are looking at mutual funds outside of that, looking at global mutual funds in particular, you look at the fees associated with that and historic performance, and those should weigh as much into your investment decision as anything.
Well, thank you very much.
It's our pleasure, Ford. Good luck, sir.
Thank you.
The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL. Let's go to Missouri, St. Louis specifically. Ellen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Are you a St. Louis native?
No, I've lived here about 25 years, though.
And what keeps you there?
My life is here. My work, my friends, my family, everybody's here.
Those are awfully good reasons, plus it's a pretty nice city, too. What's your question?
Okay, my question is, I am in the process of educating myself about investing in mutual funds, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty much of a novice at this. I have recently started reading a book called Fund Your Future by Julie Stav, S-T-A-V, and it's Winning Strategies for Managing Your Mutual Funds in 401k.
Okay.
And it's a very well-written book. It's clear and easy to understand. My question is, are you familiar with this book? And if you are, do you think it offers sound investment advice on mutual funds?
Well, Ellen, I'll be honest. I'm not familiar with the books.
Wait. We can't be honest on this show. You don't have to be. This is a financial show. You don't have to be honest.
Ellen,
haven't you kept up with, you know, Enron and WorldCom?
I read decorating magazines at home for leisure. But, actually, this is a chance for Ellen to educate us. What kind of advice are you getting?
What are you being told?
Okay, well, she starts off with the very basics. She's a former teacher, so she breaks things down in building blocks. She gives a very basic education on mutual funds, and then she goes into depth on how to evaluate where you are in your investment life.
Mm-hmm.
And then she teaches you how to evaluate individual mutual funds, you know, whether to determine if you need growth or income funds.
Okay, and Ellen, the reason that you're reading this book is because you're about to make a decision yourself.
Correct.
And lay out the decision and maybe what the book has inspired you to do.
Currently, I'm in a 401k plan, but doing, you know, it's kind of lackluster.
Okay.
And I would like to go out into the wide world of mutual funds. I want to stay away from individual stocks because I know me, and I know I'm not going to put that much time in on following the market.
Okay. Excellent.
So that's the reason I want to stay with mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I thought I would just, you know, stick with index funds.
Mm-hmm.
But her book says that, you know, it talks about index funds. You know, there's nothing wrong with them. But she says if you're willing to finish her book and apply her principles, you can find mutual funds that outperform the market. And then she gives you the internet sites where to do the research and how to interpret the prospectus and how to determine if it's going a mutual fund is going to beat the index.
Hmm. She's right. Index funds, great place to start. And in fact, great place to stay if that's all you want to do is match the overall market's returns, say if you're buying the total stock market index or the S&P 500. And there, that's sort of a leave it and go about your life kind of investment.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you're willing to actually put in a little bit extra work and look for mutual funds that do beat the market's average returns.
Yeah.
And
That's right, which isn't necessarily easy, right, Dana? Because in fact, the majority of mutual funds, ones invested in stocks, do lose to the stock market after their fees each year, which in no way denigrates the attempt to find funds that will beat the market, because some certainly do. But it is, in general, an against-the-odds approach. I mean, the reality is that most people are losing to the stock market's average. If they don't buy the index fund, they're losing to the index fund.
But we do not want to discourage you wholly
from doing some research.
Not at
all. No. I think it's worth looking for the fish or the piece of gold.
Right.
Would you take a guess as to what percentage of mutual funds actually beat the market?
Yes. It's funny because it's all how you frame it and over what time frame. But overall, it's about 8 in 10 in a given year will lose to the index fund, which means 2 in 10 will beat the index fund.
One of the funny things
is that the two that beat the index fund 1 year will often not be the ones in the standings next year that beat the market. So
that's because investors are stampeding towards them, throwing their money at these managers.
But there's no question that it's nevertheless a noble pursuit to be looking for funds that will beat the market, not over a given year, but over 5, 10, and 15 years. And certainly there are some very wonderful funds that have done that.
Okay.
And something that might have been glossed over earlier, the reason most of these mutual funds underperform, fees. So that's what you really need to concentrate on the first time when you're checking out a mutual fund. What are the management fees? You'll see those expressed as 12B1 fees, you know, loads, upside down, whatever, you know, yellow, who knows? But you find the fees in the prospectus, and that's going to give you a whole lot of information.
Okay. I'll keep doing my homework.
Good luck on your decisions.
All right, thank you.
And that's all the time we have for this week. The full phones are officially closed. Diana, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, David.
The phone lines are open during the week, though. Give us a call. 866-NPR-FULL is the number.